Even as they consider their past, Iraqis are negotiating over who their future leaders will be, and Kurdish groups are hoping to make one of their own the president of Iraq. That job is largely ceremonial, but the symbolism would be significant for the Kurds. They're the world's largest ethnic group without a state of their own, and their candidate would be the first Kurdish president of Iraq. After the Kurds' strong performance in national elections, their candidate, Jalal Talabani, is running unopposed. He's a lifetime rebel who could now become a national leader. NPR's Ivan Watson reports from Sulaymaniyah in northern Iraq.
The Twana picture framing shop sells posters of landscapes, cartoons, and even pictures of Middle Eastern sweets. But the most popular items here are portraits of Jalal Talabani. Shopkeeper Hassan Babakir says he sells 20 to 30 different Talabani posters a day. The photo of Talabani holding his hand over his heart is the most popular one, Babakir says. People put it on the walls of their offices and homes. Talabani's Patriotic Union of Kurdistan party has ruled Sulaymaniyah since 1992, and he still enjoys widespread support here. His followers call him Mam Jalal, or Uncle. Now 71 years old, this portly Cuban cigar-smoking politician often looks and acts the part.
I have been involved in Kurdish politics since 1947.
The man who's been lobbying to become Iraq's first Kurdish president began his political career as an underground activist when he was a law student in Baghdad. Talabani says his ideology has evolved over the years.
We started as a Kurdish left nationalist, to Marxist attitude, to socialism, etc. Today we are socialist Democrats.
He eventually went from being a newspaper editor to a guerrilla fighter in the mountains under the leadership of longtime Kurdish rebel leader Mullah Mustafa Barzani.
I'm proud with all my life, but going to mountain and fighting there was one of the most important things.
Kurdish songs and poetry focus on the Kurds' bitter struggle for a homeland. Following the collapse of the Ottoman Empire in World War I, Britain divided Kurdish territory between states ruled by Arabs, Turks, and Persians. Under Barzani, Iraqi Kurds mounted one revolution after another against governments in Baghdad from the mountains of northern Iraq. But the Kurdish rebels were prone to catastrophic infighting. Mahmoud Othman, a doctor who was with Barzani at the time, says in the 1960s, Talabani was one of the leaders of a breakaway faction that joined forces with Baghdad to fight against Barzani.
They shouldn't have gone to Baghdad, because when you go to Baghdad, practically it means you are cooperating with the enemy of the Kurds. So I think that was quite a negative point.
Talabani says this often bloody feud with the Barzani tribe is his biggest regret. The rivalry continues to this day, and it's one that the Kurds' enemies in Baghdad and neighboring countries have often exploited over the years, with disastrous results for the Kurds. Finally, in 1991, Talabani and Barzani's successor son, Massoud, put aside their differences to stage a briefly successful uprising following the Gulf War of 1991. Without Washington's support, however, Saddam Hussein quickly crushed the revolt. Talabani says other Kurdish leaders asked him to go to Baghdad to negotiate a ceasefire.
They said the Kurdish people is in danger, and they have 2-3 million deportees living in mountains that are going to die. If you reach agreement even for a while, it will be in the interest of the Kurdish people.
Humiliating images of Talabani embraced by Saddam, the Kurds' greatest enemy, were later broadcast on Iraqi TV. But the Kurdish refugee disaster led to the creation of an American and British no-fly zone over northern Iraq that allowed the Kurds to establish a safe haven outside of Saddam's control. After yet another Kurdish civil war, two separate Talabani and Barzani-controlled statelets eventually prospered in northern Iraq. When President George W. Bush began talking about regime change in Iraq, Talabani was quick to offer the support of his Peshmerga militia. In this interview in November 2002, months before the U.S. invasion, Talabani ominously warned of possible chaos should the Baghdad regime collapse.
We must go to control the main cities like Baghdad, Basra, Mosul, and then this will be a good step forward to prevent civil war, to prevent chaos.
Talabani says the Pentagon did not listen to his advice. Last fall, U.S. commanders had to call in the Kurds to help fight an insurgent offensive in the near lawless city of Mosul. Last month, Talabani and Barzani once again joined forces in the Iraqi elections. They have agreed since to give Barzani the top post in Kurdistan while nominating Talabani for the national presidency. Kurdish newspaper editor Asas Hardy.
It's very important for me to see a Kurdish citizen will be a symbol of the whole country.
Hardy says Talabani's inauguration would be a huge historic moment for all Iraqi Kurds.
And maybe that time will be the first period of my life to have something, some relation to this country called Iraq. Because whatever I have seen in this country was violence, killing, and so on.
Talabani swears he would be a leader for all Iraqis, not just Kurds. But the impact of Talabani's possible presidency could reach across borders to Kurdish communities in neighboring states. We Kurds don't even have a country to call our own, one Kurd in southeastern Turkey said recently. I can't imagine how I'd feel, he added, if suddenly Talabani became president. Ivan Watson, NPR News, Sulaymaniyah in northern Iraq.